Okay? So he's going to eat of the tree that he was commanded not to eat of originally. He told them, don't eat of this tree. But now cursed is the ground for your sake. So the whole earth is cursed. The whole earth is cursed. And that curse extends beyond the earth. Because anything in this temporal time and space realm is under that same curse. I mean, first of all, you can't even have any life in space. It's just a vacuum. It's freezing cold, depending on where you are, or burning hot if you're in any proximity to a star. So it's all just dead. You can't grow anything in space. Nothing can live in space. It's dead. The earth is cursed because God said it's cursed here. So check this out, though. I'm here. This is the first time I'm really hearing this. So, you shall not eat of the tree. Okay, he told them not to eat of the tree originally. But then he says, cursed is the ground for your sake. And in sorrow shall you eat of that tree that I commanded you not to eat of all your life. So man's crazy. Okay, man is now crazy. Adam is crazy. The whole human race is insane. In toil, in sorrow, you're going to eat of the tree that the Lord said, don't eat of it. So that's what everybody's doing in the world. Eating of the tree, and they're miserable. Even though they may put on a facade of being happy and life is good, they are miserable because he says it right here. It's cursed, and in sorrow and toil, you're going to eat of that tree that I told you not to eat from. You fool, I added that part. I mean, this is just how it is, man. This is just terrifying. This is terrible. This is terrible. I mean, this is just terrible. And then on top of that, thorns also and thistles, which is a type of curse and demons. Curses and demons, which propagate sickness, disease, all the calamities that we see, all those disorders and Down syndrome and all this terrifying autism, and you just name it. You could never get to the end of the list probably in your life of all the terrifying, diabolical corruption that's taken place. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it was you taken, for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. So he's going to be dead. He's going to die and dry rot. Never should have happened. Never should have happened. It's a curse. Death is a curse from God. It's a byproduct of this fallen Adamic nature that we all have. We're all born dead. And there's only one way out, and that is to be born again. To really be born again. And most people in Christianity have not really been born again. But that's what we're here for. We're here to bring that to a screeching halt. And as people are going to just snap to at some point. I believe this. God's going to raise up somebody. He's doing it right now. The messages are all over the internet. People have access to this. You just have to settle it for yourself. Sell the farm for yourself. Don't follow what everybody else is doing. I got to do this for me. And you do the diligence. You listen to the messages. You pray to the Lord. You praise the Lord. Do it for you. Let God come into you and be a part of your life and get directions directly from him as to what you need to do. And he will, and really, people, no matter what where you are in your life right now, if you would just simply just say, God, if you don't know God, if you don't know anything about this, you know that your life is a wreck, your life is a train wreck, nothing seems to go your way. Man, count it as a blessing, because God is bringing you to the place of finality, that you've come to yourself and just say, God, and I believe, because every human being has that Spirit of God, that's that remnant spirit that's in them, that they just know. And the Bible tells us that in Romans 1, that even just by looking at creation, we just know. We just know that God is real. So everybody knows. And everybody talks to God. They just don't know him. You know, they may end up talking to some fantasy God or whatever. But at some point in your life, you know, somebody's like, God, you know, I know you're out there. You know, you hear that. Yeah, I know you're out there. Just ask him to show you the truth. Just ask him to show you the truth. And he's faithful to do it. And you got to keep asking him. Man, that's the thing about God, is he has every right to just sit there with his arms crossed and just sitting there in his chair and not even looking at you when you talk to him. And he does that. Jesus did that a lot. Jesus did that to people all the time. The lady asked him about delivering her daughter. And he didn't even answer. He didn't even look at her. You know, he just... silence, you know. But you just got to keep pushing. Keep asking. Keep seeking. And God, you know, is like the old saying, you know, the squeaky wheel gets oiled. So you got to just keep bugging him. And crying and screaming, whatever it takes. In your car, yelling, you know, wake up at, you know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you just lay there and you're tossing and turning. You get up and like, God, please, what, do something, help. But keep doing that. Keep at it. That's what we got to do. Okay, so we're almost halfway done. I don't know what I'm doing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Because now we get to this is the core of the gospel right here. The resurrection. To be born again is to believe this gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Bible. The fact of Christ's resurrection. Now I make known to you, brothers, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So, the gospel first comes from those that are anointed by God and approved and chosen by God to preach. So, they preach to them, the people receive it, and they also stand, and that's how we get saved. But then there's the condition that's applied. If you hold fast. Now, in the King James in verse 2 says, if you keep in memory. If you keep in memory. Basically, you just stay close to God. This stuff is just running through your mind all the time. No matter what you're going through, you're always turning. You're always like, Lord. Even when you messed up, did something stupid, you're like, Lord, I'm a wreck. I'm a wreck, God. I need you. I need you to fix me. I need you to change me. I need you to help me. Only you can do this. I'm holding fast to that. But know this. We have to hold fast to this word, which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. So we have to keep this in mind. Don't give up on this. This is the truth. This is radical. This is very radical. We've got to see it as that. We've got to see this as very radical. What Jesus did is very radical. And even before he died on that cross and was resurrected, he told his disciples, he told his followers that this is a narrow way. He told them that you got to lose your life in order to receive this life, this new life. And we're walking dead people. We can't, because the world is just doing everything they can to get us to believe that we're living, that we're just here to enjoy life, and that life is good. And it's exactly the opposite. We're born dead. Everybody's dead, walking around on their way to destruction. Basically born dead and damned for all intents and purposes without intervention from the Messiah here, from the Christ. For I deliver to you as of first importance that I also received. Okay, so he received this. So this is how this is just reproductive. It's reproductive. He received it from somebody else. Now I'm passing it on to you. And that's what this is all about. We got to preach the gospel. Quit playing around with all this minutia and goofball stuff from the world and the stupidity of what the church, the idiotic people out there in the mainstream, Paul Crouch and TBN, and who was on TBN, and look at him, he was on TBN. Oh my God. You know, it's like, just stop it. Preach the gospel. We know this junk now. It's time to move to higher ground. It's time to move up. Okay, so I'll start that again. Verse 3. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And just for a notation, I won't go there, but three places in scriptures that are commonly referred to. You can read these in your own time for reinforcement. Psalm 16, around verse 7, Psalm 68, and Psalm 110, where he talks about Jesus. It's prophetic. It's prophetic about Jesus' resurrection and him sitting at the right hand of the Father and him putting all Antichrist authority under his foot, under his feet. That's the references from the scripture. And Jesus appeared unto Cephas after he was resurrected, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep or died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God. So, see, that's the essence of a real man of God, is not to take any credit. You know, it's almost like he caught himself in mid-sentence saying, you know, I more than all of them, but not me. It wasn't me, really. You know, but, you know, you got to acknowledge that you're doing things for the Lord for the benefit of others. But, man, at the end of the day, man, I don't know what I'm doing here, you know. We got to depend on God and his Spirit to get us through this. It's by his grace. But the grace of God with me, that's what got him through. That's what actually provoked the work, was the grace of God. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So we preach. How can they believe? Lest they have a preacher, and they have to hear the truth so that they can believe this. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. So this must have to do with a faction of the Sadducees that had migrated into the church, whether sincerely or not, becoming born-again believers. But it was the Sadducees that didn't believe in the resurrection. And then later on, even Peter, I think it was Peter that mentioned that there were some that then later said that the resurrection had already passed. But you can see how that even then, even in the very beginning of the church, false doctrine was dotting the landscape. And you know how much more magnified it is now, man. We're living in such a time of deception and delusion. I tell you what, I saw another thing I saw on TV was this documentary about the Scientology. I never really drilled down into this thing. And I tell you, you know, you got to hand it to the devil. He'll give you enough information about stuff. You just can't go overboard and get carried away with it. But look, the stuff's out there. People don't really know what this stuff is. They'll briefly hear something about maybe like somebody like Tom Cruise being a Scientologist or John Travolta. And then they, you know, they'll see a cross. You know, their symbol is like a cross. And so there's this automatic mental connection to, oh, they must be Christians. You know, and they're just called Scientologists. So they must be like scientific Christians or something, you know. But, you know, everybody's just so busy into themselves, and they just believe anything and everything that comes by, anything that comes down the pike. You're like, you know, gullible Gil, you know, like, oh yeah, that's true, yeah, that's true. And you don't think anything of it. But man, that guy L. Ron Hubbard, first of all, he was like queer. He was effeminate and strange. Some of the stuff that these people have fallen for, and then there's people that are high level people are coming out of this, and of course they get read the Riot Act and, you know, everything. And it's just like the devil. It's just like what the devil does with the truth. You know, somebody gets to the truth and then he pulls out every stop to try to stop that person. He does the same thing in his own camp. You know, the Scientologists, some of the top guys come out and they speak out and they start doing interviews and they start giving accounts of what happened and all the crazy, crazy stuff. I mean, I'm talking crazy. And then they start, everybody turns on them and tries to make them look to be like a kook and a wacko. And they're the ones telling the truth. The devil's good at what he does, you guys. We got to just know that. This is not something to play with. This is hardcore reality. We're dealing with an adversary that will do anything to deceive and destroy. Now if Christ, in verse 12, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is also in vain. So everything rests on this resurrection. Everything is resting on this born again, being the firstborn, Jesus being the firstborn from the dead. Everything about our faith rests on this resurrection. This is it. And there are many people today that claim to be Christians and don't believe that Jesus is going to bodily come back. So if they don't believe that he's going to bodily come back, then they don't believe that he was resurrected. Because that body that came up out of that resurrection, in that resurrection, is the same person that's coming back on that white horse to rest in Jerusalem. Amen, so be it. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe in the resurrection, your faith is in vain, you're lost. Believe this. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. So, I mean, everything gets discombobulated without the resurrection. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished. There's no hope. And then, of course, he says, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied, or most miserable in the King James. Without this resurrection, we have hope in Christ in this life. So that's what people are, they claim that they believe Jesus, but they have hope in this life. They actually believe that there's going to be some sort of satisfaction or some sort of reward in this life, and it's just not going to happen. It's going to slip away like a vapor if you don't get to the truth and inundate yourself with the truth and get born again and get filled with the Spirit, so that the fruit of the Spirit, this is the twofold aspect of the end time mission of the church, is to take on the character of Jesus Christ by the transformation of the mind begets the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit then begets the gifts of the Spirit, so that we're walking, talking Christians, mini Christs. That's what the essence of the word Christian means, is to be a mini Christ. Jesus went around healing the sick, casting out devils, preaching the gospel. That's what we have to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But we got to remember one thing. He said, tarry until you're endowed with power. So you can't go flying off the handle. You know, you'll go through that. Most people anyway probably go through that stage of being commanded by Jesus to go out and do whatever. Just like he did to the disciples. He said, he gave them authority to go out and cast out devils and to heal the sick and do all these wondrous things, and they came back astounded. But it was all a work of the flesh in a sense, because they hadn't been born again yet. They had authority to do these things. So that right there had the devil to back off, because Jesus himself gave the authority. So they went in his stead. The devil had to back off, because Jesus gave the authority. But they still hadn't been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, because they came back clearly and talked about how the demons even did as we told. No, they're all just talking about what they did. And Jesus rebuked them right away and said, hey man, it's not you. This ain't about you. That's how we got to be in this. It's not about us. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep or dead. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, or all are dead, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ is the first fruit, which is the beginning of sacrifice. Christ is the beginning of sacrifice. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. That is all that is against him. He abolishes all rule. It's not going to be like he's just, you know, just now running this lawless kingdom. But he's abolishing all Antichrist rule, all Antichrist authority, and all Antichrist power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is expected who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. And that is the Father himself. The Father has given all authority to the Son. Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Why are we also in danger or in jeopardy every hour? That's kind of what I was saying at the top. It's like the devil is always at your heels. He's always like a like a dog, you know, that picture of a dog nipping at your heels. Only he's not like a little puppy. He's a vicious lion seeking to try to devour us. But it's like we're in jeopardy every hour. I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. That's how we got to look at this. You die daily as you're becoming born again. So as you continue your walk being born again, you're dying daily. So this is what a new and living way is. It's a new and living way. You don't just one day you're born again and then, you know, you just flatline and you're all there. It's a process of dying daily, being more and more born again. You're like being born again and again and again and again and again. You're always being renewed in the spirit of your mind, being transformed in your mind. This is a renewing process, dying daily that you may live daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So that's the flippant attitude of a non-believer. It's like, well, and what he's saying is that without the resurrection, then you might as well take the attitude of, well, let's just eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. There's no hope. It's like, so we just go crazy and party hardy. That's the mentality of the lost. Whatever, you know, let's do whatever. Whatever feels good, do. That's what the world tells them to do. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Evil communications corrupts good manners, is what the King James says. Bad company corrupts good morals, good manners. So you lay down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. How many times do you see this? You see it with your kids. You see it. I was talking to my son tonight, talking about a guy that moved into the apartment. Young guy, just out of high school. And he's got a moderate sense of values. He knows, you know, he talks, unless he's talking game, which could be the case, but he said he seems kind of sincere. But he's got these kids, these friends of his, that are with him. And it's like, they're the ones that are provoking him. This, you know, been told not to bring weed in the house. Because then the whole house, you know, it's like a quadruplex. There's like three or four different rooms that this guy rents out in this house. So the whole place smells like weed. Kids are all partying and being loud. And it's like, you know, hey, this is crazy. But that's what so many kids do. He even said that himself. It's like, I'm like sitting here talking to the guy thinking, man, I was doing the same thing when I, you know, first got into college, you know, 18 years old. And you're like, woohoo, you know, we're free. I'm in college, you know, I'm big stuff now. But evil communications corrupt good manners. Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And remember, Jesus said that unless a seed dies, it cannot grow. And that's how it is with every seed. Basically, anything that is a seed, any type of fruit or vegetable that produces seed, the seed's got to dry up. And that's just how it is with us, individually and collectively. The church just has to dry up. The Holy Spirit, in His ultimate wisdom, sends us into the wilderness so that we can dry up. So we go through all these rituals and all this gymnastics and we just keep circling and keep until you finally just like, okay, all right. You know, and then you got to deal with the next round of folks come in, and we got to go through the same process, and then another generation, another process. So people got to deal with that. This is how it was with Joshua and Caleb. You know, they were like, oh man, what is with you guys? But that's how you get forged. That's part of the forging process. Everybody's going through forging. So we got to deal with the wilderness until it finally is just going to dry up. And that's why I said at the beginning, don't lose faith. It's going to seem like it's just totally dried up and God's not a million miles anywhere near to be seen or heard from or found. And then all of a sudden, boom, suddenly he comes into the temple. That's what he's going to do. That's how this is going to pan out. But in the meantime, we've got to be born again, born again, born again. So he goes on to talk about the flesh. Okay, where were we? We left off in verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 37. Man, I need new glasses. Verse 37. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or perhaps of something else. So it all depends on your character, what type of grain you're going to produce. Is it going to be wheat or is it going to be some other non-wheat, some other tare or work of the flesh, a weed? All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. So there's two realms we're dealing with. We're dealing with the heavenly, and we're dealing with the earthly, or the natural. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For stars differ from star to star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. So he's making a contrast to all the different bodies in the heavenlies, to what this resurrected body is. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last man, Adam, the last Adam, who is Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthly. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthly, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. So we're going to have a totally different body. And because of the fact that he said that it is the first, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual, and that the first man is from the earth. So that must mean that when he formed Adam, he wasn't in that glorified body. He was in an earthly body, but yet he was still pure. So he was still a different kind of a person. He had to have been a different kind of a person. But yet he wasn't in the spiritual. He wasn't the spiritual body, because he wasn't yet resurrected from the dead. This is somebody that's, the spiritual body that he's speaking of has to do with this resurrection. So I don't think Adam was resurrected at this point, but he wasn't cursed either. So he had to have been some other type of earthly body, one that didn't stink, He probably didn't stink. He wasn't. There was no corruption, so he couldn't have. He couldn't have stunk. You know, he couldn't have smelled like we do if, you know, we don't take a bath or a shower for 2 or 3 days. This is a different kind of a body. But yet, me personally, I always kind of have this picture of Adam and Eve being, you know, in and of themselves before the fall in this glorified body. And it seems to me that by reading this, that that's not the case, because the spiritual is not first. And Adam came from the earth as this natural body, not spiritual body. So anyway, back into verse 50, the mystery of resurrection. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. So not all of us are going to die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, for this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? So that first quotation, death is swallowed up in victory, that comes out of Isaiah 25, verse 8. But then let's look at the second quotation, which comes out of Hosea 13, real quick. Hosea, good old Hosea. I always think about Hosea and that, man, what kind of flack did he take? Hosea was the guy that the Lord told to marry a prostitute. Man, he must have had a rough time, man. He must have, boy, you talk about some rough stuff. Hosea 13, let's go Hosea 13, 13. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children or the birth. 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave, Hades. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. This is Jesus talking. This is another prophecy, just like we touched on the prophecies about Jesus' resurrection that came out of the Psalms. There's another prophecy here from Hosea. So this is essentially Jesus speaking through Hosea. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. That was verse 14. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, and the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed to pieces, and their women with children shall be ripped up or ripped open. Sounds almost like a cesarean section, a C-section. So that's what he quotes, what Paul quotes here back in 1 Corinthians. That's quoting Hosea. And they always make that into some poetic. And it is. It's very poetic. But that's a O death, where is your victory? It almost sounds like Shakespeare. O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And that word toil is almost like the same word that he used to talk about Adam, you know, where he was just going to be toiling and laboring. And the King James uses the word labor. But it's just, you know, it's not like you're just happy, you know, like the seven dwarves whistling on the way to work, you know, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go, all smiling and happy. It's like, man, this is a toil. This is a burden, a labor. But it's all good. So that's it. We got to be born again. The resurrection, the gospel we preach, this Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He is our hope. This resurrection and our belief in him by our faith, that resurrection will be imparted unto us at the end of the days, whether we end up dying or if we're whoever's still around when he shows up to take back what's rightfully his and to just do away with all this, redeem everything. The rebuke of his people will be lifted off, the Bible says. And this is it. And this is all what we're really in, is just a realm of dead people. Without the born-again life of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And it's got to be more than just mental ascension. It's got to be more than just, yeah, I believe this, but we have to be obedient to his word. Each individual person has to do what he says to do. Because he said right there at the end of the chapter, was that in verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So it's this obligation. These people in church. I saw somebody that I know that, you know, is just going in and teaching, you know, like some sort of midweek school in a church somewhere, and dealing with these little kids, and they're like pulling their hair out. They're pulling their hair out dealing with these kids, because the fact of the matter is most of these kids are just demonized. They're being inundated with demons because the folks, the parents, whether they're in a normal two-parent household or there's so many kids in broken homes, and they're just being placated with smartphones and video games and internet access, which is an open gateway, I guarantee you, to a vast number of these kids. If we knew the number, we'd drop dead, we'd vomit of how many kids are just snared into pornography. Where I'm talking kindergartners. These kids get left alone hours on end in some cases. Just get dropped off. Latchkey kids, they call them. They just get off the school bus, got a key to the front door, go into the house, and the devil's playground is right there. And they're feeding on pornography. And these kids are demonized. All you got to do is look at how these kids behave. They're bouncing off the walls. It's like it used to be like, you know, a kid, you could tell if a kid had drinking too much soda or, you know, had too much sugar. They're just hyper and bouncing off the walls. But man, you got that as well. But we got a problem here, folks. We have a problem here. And it's going to take born-again believers who recognize that this ain't what we think. What we've been led to believe as far as life on earth is not the case. It's not really what we've been led to believe. We got to alter our thinking. We got to be transformed radically to walk this out. Because if you don't go through the transformation, if you don't see it like this, if you don't agree that this is an absolute radical mission that we're on to save souls, we're in a radical war fighting against an adversary that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. We'll do anything to get to that end result. Deception, perversion, any kind of way. He's got people that have good intentions marked. So you got to settle it for yourself that I got to really batten down the hatches. Expect resistance. And we got to just stay in the fight, stay in the battle, keep believing it, knowing that I'll mark two scriptures here to end it off, dealing with what Jesus is trying to convey to us. First of all, there was the occasion in Luke 9 and Mark 8, Mark 8, 22, Luke 9, 60, where the young man came to him and he wanted to be a disciple. He wanted to follow him. But he said, first, I got to go bury my father. Can I go bury my father? And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Follow me. And that's not to say that you don't have to ever go to a funeral anymore because these people are just dead people. That's not what he's saying. But he's trying to convey this idea to us that if you're not with me, you're not alive. You're dead. So he's saying, let the dead bury their dead. That's Jesus, God himself, he's a hard taskmaster. Sometimes he says things that are just hard pills to swallow. But you just got to abide with it because he knows everything. He's right about everything. He cannot tell a lie. He cannot do anything wrong. He won't do what's wrong. But we just got to deal with it. And if he speaks through one of his servants, then we got to deal with it just the same because it's just how he did it with Paul. It's just like he did it with all the other apostles and all the other men of God that followed him and obeyed him. When they say something, you do it. You don't have to like it. You just have to do it. You just have to agree with it. It can become in the form of a message. You get convicted all the time listening to the gospel. If you don't, then you're probably going off, you know. It's like, you know, God is real good at being middle of the road. He'll keep you in the middle of the road. He's real good at that. This is, I was thinking about Adam. And, you know, how you people will be arguing about what did Jesus look like and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I was thinking about Adam specifically. But as I thought about Adam, I also was thinking about Jesus, you know. I was like, I wonder what they look like, you know. And, you know, knowing God, being middle of the road, Adam probably wasn't, you know, a Caucasian, Nordic-looking guy, nor was he probably like a, you know, dark Ethiopian. He was probably right in the middle, kind of dark, suntan kind of looking, you know, olive-skinned, you know. For that matter, Jesus and Adam may be like identical twins, you know. I just threw that out there. It was just kind of a thought. I was like, you know what? You know, God is just something else, man. He's just something else. But he's just going to keep you in the middle of the road. He'll throw you some hard balls, you know. He'll throw you, you know, you'll be up to bat and you get the old, you know, now that baseball season's coming up, I guess, so we can use a baseball analogy, you know. He'll throw you some high heat sometime. A little chin music will come your way and you just got to like, you know, grin and bear it, you know. Don't stare him down like they do in the ball games, you know. Don't be staring at him like, all right, you know, get ready. Now they just come out and start throwing bats at him, you know. When the guy throws chin music, they start throwing bats and you get into a baseball brawl where it's a bunch of guys just, you know, like they don't even fight. You know, nobody throws a punch. They just start dancing around and, you know, like, what are you doing? You're not even fighting. Man, if you want to have a fight, go to a hockey game. Come on. But that's just the reality of it. Jesus says some hard things, and we gotta see it like he sees it. So he says, let the dead bury their dead. This is a dead place. We're coming into a new and living way, being born again. And then there's also at the point of the resurrection in all the gospel accounts, there was the portion where the women were at the tomb to anoint Jesus. They went to anoint his body again. And they realized that he wasn't there. And at some point, one of the angels said to him, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And it wasn't so much just about them being in that tomb, because one of them actually, they saw Jesus thinking that he was a gardener. They didn't recognize him, and they were asking him. So it wasn't like they were, because they were in the tomb looking for the living among the dead. They were just looking for, where did he go? Who took his body? Where'd they go? So they're out looking, so they saw this guy standing there. Hey, where'd he go? And the guy said, the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? We're born dead. We got to be born again. That's all there is to it. So Lord, we just now ask you to impart on us the spirit of life, God. We've got to be born again. We've got to be so radically changed, Lord, to be able to walk with you, especially in these last days. Gird up our minds, God, that we not fall prey to deception, that we not veer off to the right or veer off to the left, but just keep us in the middle of the road, God. Keep us to that place where our the fruit of the Spirit are growing in us, that we don't become stagnant, that we don't become disappointed and frustrated to the point of giving up. We've got to undergo this death, Lord, to die daily, even though we're already dead. But that's the whole point. It's about to be resurrected. It's about being resurrected daily. You get up in the morning, it's a new day. You've made a way for us, God. We thank you, God. We just bless you, God, that you've kept us. And God, we just ask you to continue to keep us, Lord. Bless your people. Raise up the remnant, God. There's a remnant of people that are living this out, Lord God. People at different stages of their walks, Lord, we just ask you to build them all up, God. Build up the men especially, Lord, to stand in their proper places in their homes, as fathers, as husbands, and God, wherever they are. The Bible says that we're to work as unto the Lord. Whatever we do in our daily jobs, Lord God, we're not here to perform for the corporation or to perform for the manager, but we're here to work as unto you, Lord. As part of the disciplinary processes to becoming servants, Lord, that we become humble servants, willing to help out in a time of need. And Lord, now more than ever, we desperately need help. Give us the grace, Lord God. Give us the strength to endure this thing. Raise up the body of Christ, Lord, to do exploits in these last days, that we can see Jesus as King. In Jesus' holy, mighty name I pray, amen. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Remember the ministry in prayer. Remember the ministry when you can financially. We're going through the motions, folks. We got a conference coming up in May. Be there or be square. Those that can make it, hopefully you can make it. It's always good. I tell you, every conference we've been to, I remember the first one we had probably back in when I was a part of it anyway, in the beginning, 2003 or 2004. It was great. And they're all great. They're always good time. I tell you, the flesh is around. That's part of life. But man, when God brings his people together, it's edifying. It really is. And remember, we're growing through this whole thing. Every one of us is growing. And you can't just look down your nose at anybody. He tells us to, hey, esteem your brothers as better than as you. So it doesn't matter who don't look at anybody like like they're something, you know, or don't look at anybody like they're nothing. Because, hey, we're all in the same place down here. We're fighting for our lives, and we just want to see people be successful. And that's the that's one of the promises that the Lord made. He told Joshua, just have courage, and you'll have good success. So we got to be courageous through this thing, and we'll be successful. So remember the ministry financially to raise up the tabernacles starting in Atlanta, wherever they are. We're hoping there'll be one here in Arizona, one in Houston, one in Seattle, probably one in New York, probably Chicago. They'll be all over the place. Hey, why not start here? Let's start here. To me, it makes sense, you know, as far as America. Let's just, you know, everybody hates America anyway. Let's give them another reason to hate America. Because that's where the church is born from. The end of the age church. So like we say, let's go. Have a blessed week. See you in about 25 minutes next Wednesday. Have a good one. Bless you all.